Yesterday started the week for Christian prayer for Christian unity. There are well over 700 different Christian denominations around the world. And yet the prayer of Jesus is that his disciples be one. Now, we could unpack that this morning, but what does God really want to say to us? To you and to me. He calls us together to be church so that we can encourage each other, bless each other. And we read from John's Gospel, chapter 17. This is the prayer of Jesus. This is the real Lord's Prayer. Not the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. That's the disciples' prayer. This is the prayer of Jesus. He's heading towards Calvary, towards paying for your sin and for my sin, to place his all upon the altar, to bear upon himself our disgrace. So Jesus makes three prayers in this particular chapter. First five verses, he prays for himself. And I think that's an important point to note, that if Jesus prays for himself, how much more important is it that you and I, as followers of his, pray for ourselves on a regular basis? You see, John chapter 17 says, after Jesus said this, he looked upward to heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. What's your hour? What are you looking forward to? Either in anticipation or in trepidation. The hour will come. What do we need to ask for? For Jesus, his design of God the Father was that he would glorify the Son as the Son has glorified him. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. You and I, by our presence here, and I need to be careful not to make an assumption, have at least expressed an interest in knowing more about Jesus and about faith in the living God. Now, whether you know him or not is for you and him to decide. But God wants to know you. And he wants you to know how much you are loved by him. So much so that no matter what you have done in your life to date, stands in your way of coming to him humbly to seek forgiveness, grace, to have your needs met in him this morning. You see, Jesus' desire was that through his life, he might fulfill the will of the Father, bring glory to God the Father, that we might, as ordinary men and women, boys and girls, realize that God is not distant nor remote, but that he's come down. It's John's Gospel, chapter 1, that tells us the Word became flesh. The message that says God moves into our neighborhood. Now, what's your neighborhood like? I only just live around the corner. But I know that God is needed there. Is God needed in your neighborhood? Is he needed in this town? If so, if we agree on that, how is it going to be shown? He's only going to be shown by the love we receive from him and give to others from him. You see, you and I, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are the men, women, boys and girls through whom God will minister his love and his grace. You see, Jesus doesn't just focus totally upon himself. There are five verses in these 26 verses that Jesus prays about himself and his ministry. And his desire is that his ministry, this last 3 years of earthly ministry, might have an eternal impact upon the people of his generation and the people that would follow. He knew that the first 12 disciples didn't have it all together. They hadn't fully grasped or understood what his ministry was all about. And here he is standing on the brink of laying down his life for the salvation of the world. And I think in his humanity might be saying to the Father, have we got this right? Is this the only way? But he prays for his disciples, those 12 men and others. Not just for those 12, there was at least 120 in the upper room. I have revealed to you, to those whom you have given me out of the world, that they were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. It's the word of God we need to obey, not man's words. I give them the word you gave me, and they accepted them. Are we people who love the word, the words of God? Are they living, active, effective in transforming you and I in this day and age? You see, Jesus praying for his early disciples, prays for them that the world might be changed by their witness. Now, these are men and women in the short chapters after Jesus' death and resurrection are still frightened, hiding away, fearful that they're about to lose their lives. Because it's not just about hearing the word and receiving the word. It's about being transformed by the word. And it was at Pentecost that God sent his Holy Spirit to rest upon every individual in that upper room, to give them courage to speak the word of God boldly, to be able to engage with the cultures that were in their city at that time. This 21st century, friends, can I suggest to you that we are first century Christians yet again. And we need to engage with our communities with the love of God, with the words of Jesus. Words of healing and acceptance, of challenge and correction. Words that transform and bring about a new community. That's what it's about. Being one. Listen, when Jesus prayed this prayer, it was in the light of having at least two brothers wanting to be either side of him. One of the Gospels says that they got their mum to do the asking. Now, we're not told totally what the other 10 disciples thought about this request. I can imagine. I've got two boys. They are 18 months between them. Both now 6'4". I remember once they were scrapping in the back garden, lacing into each other, and my wife shouted at me and I had to come running because I had to separate them. I pulled them apart and my neighbor started laughing because he said, David, if they wanted to, they could have taken you down. Just like that. You see, families don't always agree. But in Jesus, we are the family of God. In Jesus, he holds us together. His desire is that we be one. One through his love, in his love, showing his love, first to each other and then to the world around us. And then I'm grateful that Jesus doesn't just stop there and then. He's not just prayed about himself and his ministry, and he's not just praying for the disciples who are immediately with him, but verse 20 then goes on to say, my prayer is not for them alone, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me, friends. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was praying this prayer, he knew that on the 19th of January 2020, you and I would be in Park Baptist Church worshiping together. And his prayer was that we would be one. That we would believe his message. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That's the purpose of church. Yes, the fellowship is important. It builds us up. Your family time, where we shared good news and the need for prayer and then prayed about it, is an example of what church is all about. But the church doesn't just meet to bless itself and to have a good time in the presence of God. The church meets in order to be inspired, instructed, empowered to go out into the world and live the love of Christ in the here and now. So that our neighbors, the people we work with, those members of our family who do not yet know Jesus as Lord and Savior, might see and experience his love. Not so much in what we say, but in what we do. Every message that we communicate, words are only 7% of the message. The way we say it, the way that we say it, conveys the tone and manner in which we mean it to be taken. But our countenance, our actions, are 55% of any message we convey. So if I say to you, I really care about you this morning, it's good to be with you, then there's incongruence. The world needs us to be the authentic thing. If I am to call myself a Christian, then first and foremost, I need to know that the love of God lives here. See, I can read the Word of God, and it can abide here. But there's 18 inches between the head and the heart. Nothing happens until the message of the gospel travels from here to here. But when it travels here, then actions are transformed. Actions become loving, gracious, become actions of Jesus. You and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of whatever label our church bears, we'll spend eternity together. So we need to get used to that. We need to start celebrating our uniqueness and the richness of Christ's body and celebrate what God is doing in his church in these days. So if Jesus prays for himself, then you pray for yourself. If Jesus prays for his disciples, then friends, we ought to pray for each other. And if Jesus praised for those who would believe because of their witness, let you and I start praying and believing for souls to come and find the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. It is estimated that only 8% of people in Great Britain today will go to church on a regular basis. That simply means there's 92% of people who don't. So that means that the fields are white to harvest. The opportunity to share Jesus is immense. How we do it, we need to do it lovingly, generously, and graciously. May God bless you. It has been a joy to be with you this morning. I just pray. Let me pray.